We rise. The basis for our sermon today comes from the gospel we just considered, Matthew chapter 1. Let us pray. O Holy Spirit, conceive in us a faith which waits patiently, relying on your word alone to sustain us. Amen. You may be seated. To all who look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, the grace which brings us salvation has appeared to all men and is yours, dear fellow redeemed. Last week, I witnessed a miracle. My wife and I went to an ultrasound, and on the computer screen, I saw a child that weighed less than a pound. A child that weighed less than a pound with arms and legs and eyes and a mouth, fingers and toes. This person weighing less than a pound already had all the intricate parts of life. As the psalmist says, "You formed me in my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb." And what was perhaps most miraculous of all was a flicker. A heartbeat. It was a gift of God, a miracle, that life would be given. And in case you're wondering, the answer is no. We didn't find out. We decided we were going to wait. In fact, the technician said this was quite rare. People nowadays rarely wait for much of anything. We're so used to having everything we want when we want it. Joseph and Mary lived before the age of technology. There was no such thing as ultrasonic screening, no such things as cars or the internet. It took time to do just about anything. They had no choice but to wait. And yet, even if they had the best ultrasound technology in the world, it couldn't have revealed what had really happened in Mary's womb. It was a miracle, hidden in plain sight. It leaves Joseph quite confused, in fact. Mary, the woman that he's engaged to, is pregnant, and he is not the father. Now, in his day, a more common response would have been to make a public spectacle of this. The label sinner was more than just an acknowledgement that no one is perfect. It was a term used to shame someone. You might recall John's Gospel in chapter 8, where a woman is caught in adultery. And what is the response of the Pharisees? They make a public example of her. They say she ought to be stoned. What is Joseph's response? He deals with it privately and patiently. He doesn't overreact, he doesn't respond in self-righteousness, but he responds in true righteousness. Yet as he considers it all, he becomes confused and troubled. The marriage commitment has been broken. The woman, which he was supposed to spend the rest of his life with, is now a confusing situation. This was supposed to be the one God had chosen for him. He loved her, and all his plans had come unraveled. Sin has a way of bringing us into confusing and troubling situations. And so often we don't find the patience to wait that we wish we did. Sin has a way of finding its way into our situations and causing us trouble. We're left waiting and wondering how all these things will turn out. We're left waiting for the right treatment. We're left wondering if we'll ever find the right spouse. When will we get the answer we've been waiting for? We know we should be patient, but we're so used to getting the answers right now, at the click of a button. A few dollars spent, hard enough work, whatever it takes And we want things back to normal now. But God gives us such times where we need to wait, where all we can do is wait. Sin has a way of prompting troubling situations, and it troubled Joseph. He supposed that sin had prompted the situation that he was in with Mary. And indeed it did. It was adultery that created this situation. And it was lust. And it was impatience. And it was hatred. And it was discontentment. All these things prompted this situation. In fact, it was the weight of the world's sins that prompted this confusing situation. This should trouble us. What we see with our eyes leaves us confused. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." They had no ultrasound. They had no visible evidence. Years upon years, generations upon generations had waited. We're talking about more than a few more months to find out whether it's a boy or a girl. We're talking about centuries, even thousands of years of waiting. God's people had waited. And prophets like Isaiah had hidden away a mystery in plain sight. Hidden away in the words of Scripture, they had spoken of this one to come who would save the people from their sins. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." They had nothing more than the word to give them patience. And even when Emmanuel does arrive, still all they have is the word. Because God with us, God among us, looked so plain and so ordinary. A plain, ordinary, painful labor and birth, a small village, a small cattle shed, God was hidden in plain sight. He comes in such plain and ordinary appearance, and that is what his mission was. As Paul says, he did not consider it a thing to be paraded about, that he was equal with God. Yet he emptied himself. He took the form of a slave. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The miracle that was hidden in plain sight was God becoming man for you. He cried like a baby, he suffered like a man, and he died like a sinner. Upon this child that weighed less than a pound was the weight of the whole world. So God would give this mysterious child a name, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. When Jesus arrives, he turns a situation prompted by sin into an opportunity for God's miracle. God performs a miracle that is hidden in plain sight, and all he uses to tell us about it, to reveal it, is his word. His word, which tells us we're completely helpless and we're even blind. That baby that I saw on the computer last week is completely helpless. The greatest ultrasound in the world could really not reveal the great problem. Our child, like all others, is sinful. Even in mom's womb, the baby is full of sin, is threatened by death at every moment, and all we're left to do is wait. The fact that this baby's heart is flickering is a miracle. And to give him something that will outlast time is an even greater miracle. It will require a miracle of God to save us from our sins with something that had to be conceived by God. it will require Emmanuel. The virgin conception would be different than any other because it would finally result in something that is without sin, a mother that would have a child from heaven. The Holy Spirit would conceive God with us, or more literally, God in our midst. It is a response. And all we can do is wait. God's grace alone will bring our child through delivery and to delivery. It all looks so plain and ordinary. A child, tap water, a few words, and yet in these plain, ordinary things, we find Emmanuel, God in our midst. No ultrasound, no visible proof, but in the waters of baptism, God is with us, among us. He's hidden himself away in plain sight as we hear his word, as we gather together today, where two or three are gathered, where he forgives your sins and conceives Jesus among us and in us. Yes, when Jesus arrives, he takes what is sinful and turns it into an opportunity for God's miracle. The word reveals that hidden in plain sight is Emmanuel. There is yet another miracle that we haven't talked about. A miracle of the Spirit happening in plain sight. Not only is there a miracle of God in Mary, there is also that miracle of God in Joseph, of God in us. And Joseph called his name Jesus, is how the account ends. This response is a miracle. Because when Jesus is born, as we said, there's nothing spectacular about him. He's a baby that cries. They didn't see God with us with their eyes, but a miracle had happened in their hearts. So they call his name Jesus, the Greek name, which means the Lord is salvation. They believe that God is in their midst, and he is saving them from their sins. It's a response hidden in plain sight. It's a response that takes Mary to be his wife. It's a response that doesn't consummate the marriage until she brings forth the firstborn. It's a response to the Word that does what God has commanded, a miracle. It is a miracle to call his name Jesus. Not just saying the words, but actually believing what it means that the Lord is salvation with nothing more than the Word. God is hidden in plain sight when we gather in his name. When parents bring their child to the waters of baptism. When we gather at the altar to receive bread and wine. When we take time out of this busy, busy season to worship. To have a few extra services. To come on December 24th for an hour. Or on December 25th for another hour. Out of this busy schedule to behold what this means for us, that God is conceived among us and in us. And all we have is the Word promising our King will be here. What are the miracles that you see in your life? The problem is, maybe we don't. They're hidden in plain sight. They're a response like Joseph taking a wife. God is hidden in plain sight when parents wait patiently with a child in the hospital. When doctors can offer no good answer and they need to wait. God is hidden in plain sight when a Christian needs to wait for a spouse, for a job, for a child, for an answer to financial troubles, to an answer to physical troubles, for an answer to spiritual troubles, for forgiveness. We have to wait for God to appear in a way that we can see him. God is hidden in plain sight when we wait in troubling situations. As Isaiah writes, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We find ourselves in many strange and even troubling situations. Situations prompted by sin. By our sins, by other people's sins, by the world of sin. And yet this is when Emmanuel appears. Hidden in plain sight. It is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You've just witnessed a miracle. Less than a pound, he is such a small thing. He's formed in God's inward parts. He's covered in his mother's womb. He's a gift. Toes, fingers, a flickering heart. Our Emmanuel was a miracle hidden in plain sight. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Amen.